Hello, I'm Adam King, Managing Director and Co-Head of EMEA Non-Bank FI Sales. You're listening to the Treasury Insights podcast series. Receivables reconciliation plays a pivotal role in managing accurate financial statements, which are vital for making informed business and treasury decisions. By harnessing the power of advanced tools, technology, and automation, businesses can significantly enhance their process efficiency. I'm delighted to be joined today by Kim Parfitt, Senior Manager, Accounts Payable, Treasury Systems and Processes for the insurance company Chaucer, and Jeff Pawley, Product Sales Manager at Bank of America. Welcome, Kim and Jeff.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Adam. Happy to be here today for this discussion.
Okay, great. Thanks, both. Let's get started then. So, Kim, my first question's for you. What are some of the common challenges that you face at Chaucer when it comes to reconciling?
Yes, I think for us, the biggest challenge that we faced kind of prior to our implementation was actually being able to recognise which funds needed to be booked where in the ledger. Our previous setup was one where we had one account per core currency and all of the funds would flow through into those accounts. We have a number of different branches within our Irish entity, but we were receiving funds for all of them into those bank accounts. So what that meant was somebody having to actually sift through each transaction in order to allocate it correctly. And that is obviously really time consuming and takes a lot of effort for everybody involved to get through that process to do the reconciliation. And that obviously then leads into the cash matching. In order to be able to match the cash that's coming through the bank accounts, the same exercises were needing to be performed to match those transactions then to policies that we hold in the insurance systems.
And Kim, I guess that's an issue that only gets worse as you get more and more transactions coming through as your business grows.
100%. And, you know, we have growth in that office and forecast more growth within that office. It was really key for us to find something that worked for the team to take away the man hours that were being spent just sifting through transactions. You can imagine there's hundreds of transactions coming through the account every single week. For somebody to have to go through and to be able to identify what they relate to, it's a big time resource that's been spent just doing that exercise.
Thanks for that intro, Kim. It's fair to say that you're probably not alone in having that challenge. We regularly hear from our clients. As a follow-on, what tools and techniques did you leverage to overcome those challenges and ultimately enhance your reconciliation process?
For us, virtual accounts have played a huge role in helping the team with this. So what we did was we opened 4 physical accounts with you in our core currencies. We expanded the currencies that we had. So we had 4 rather than 3. And then within those accounts, we created virtual accounts for each branch and currency combination where it was needed. We then went a step further and started to create specific broker accounts. And in some branches, we actually went to the level of creating virtual accounts for payments, for all the different settlement types. You might have an account that was specific for expenses, one that was for reinsurance settlements, one that was for claims, one that's for tax. What that's meant for us is that we've been able to kind of segregate all of the funds into separate accounts. When we receive our statements into our TMS system, that VAM account is stamped on every single transaction, which allows us to then not have to even look at the transaction. We can write rules in our TMS that says, if it's got this VAM account number on it, this is the type of transaction it is, and automatically map that to a nominal in our ledger. So what it's actually meant is that there's very few transactions now that are flowing through into the physical header accounts. Those that are, because there's so few of them, we've been able to isolate them and we've been able to write rules based on the descriptions that come through. Not only are we utilising the VAM accounts to help with that reconciliation process, we've also got to a point now where less than 5% of our transactions are falling into a cash suspense account because we've been able to identify what they are from previous months coming through and we've been able to map all the transactions to a nominal. And the amount of time that has saved is immense. It's just allowed the team to then kind of do the more value add work. Virtual accounts has been absolutely fundamental to us automating that process.
Thanks, Kim. Is there anything else that you've deployed beyond virtual accounts? It sounds like you've put some rule-based technology into your TMS. But is there anything else that you've used in addition to virtual accounts and the rules to really take your reconciliation into a more advanced state than it originally was at the outset?
There's still quite a lot of work going on with the process. We're still kind of tweaking some of the rules and the hierarchy in terms of how the virtual accounts sit. But in terms of how those reconciliations are done, it's more of a streamlined focus now rather than it being a manual click here, click there. Virtual accounts has definitely been the biggest thing.
Thank you, Kim. You mentioned the sort of reconciliation being one of the key use cases for using virtual accounts. And I know virtual accounts is a key criteria when selecting your banking providers. What other use cases have you found for virtual accounts at Chaucer, and what are the benefits you've gained from them?
When we actually embarked on the project with you, our actual goal was bank account rationalisation across the business, not just for the Irish entity, but in general. We had, I think, surplus of 150 bank accounts across the business, and obviously there's fees associated with those. We wanted to do what we could to reduce them, but without actually compromising the service that we were receiving from our banking partners, but also without compromising the service we were providing to the business. The VAM account solution definitely helped with that. And we are looking at other areas in the business where we can apply that. So certainly on our syndicate side, we currently have a setup where we have a number of bank accounts relating to different areas of the business or different locations. That for me screams virtual account in exactly the same way that we have for our Irish entity. When we look at the Irish entity alone and the growth that we've got there, we wouldn't have had any other choice but to open more bank accounts to get in the position that we're in now because of the virtual account solution. We previously had 6 bank accounts across 2 different providers. We've now got just the 4 accounts with 1 provider, but the transparency that we have is like having 100 different bank accounts. The other thing that we've kind of gained in terms of benefits to the process is the simple things like opening those accounts. There's no paperwork involved. We can go in, we can self-serve in the CashPro portal. We don't have to come to you guys and say we want to open more accounts. We also have the added benefit of not having to move cash around for that entity. We can see at a glance what's available across all of those accounts because they all roll up into those physical header accounts. And what it's meant for us is a reduction in bank fees, but also transparency. So not only does it allow us in the treasury team to be able to look at what we've got in just one place, but it also allows the guys in the offices who are doing that reconciliation or the cash matching to be able to see actually what's come through for each line of business or for each broker. Certainly from a treasury point of view, one of the big benefits is the not having to move money around. We're not moving money across banking providers. We're not even moving money across accounts because we don't need to anymore. We can very easily see what our operational cash is every day because it's all in that one place.
Kim, this is a great solution that you've put in place. I have a quick question for you. You mentioned some things around some of the challenges that you were contending with leading into the deployment of your virtual account solution. I was hoping maybe you could talk about a little bit more about that, because I've had an opportunity to work with some of our other insurance clients facing similar challenges, particularly with respect to broker payments. And that caught my attention when you mentioned that. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more of some of those challenges specifically that you're contending with and how virtual accounts helped you specifically address that particular challenge. I've heard that echoed repeatedly, specifically in the insurance space, that broker payments, third-party payments, intermediate payments present a unique set of challenges. And I was hoping maybe you could give us a little more insight on that particular topic.
Sure. So I think one of the big things is what tends to happen, and it still happens a little bit now, even with the virtual account solution, is if we have engaged with a broker from multiple locations, we have a broker relationship, but we run it out of our UK branch or our Copenhagen branch, what will tend to happen is we will receive one payment from that broker and we don't receive any statement or any remittance from the broker to tell us what that relates to. Part of the challenge the team will have is not only do they have to try and identify what the payment related to, but it also potentially would relate to business across different branches. There's two things going on. One is, has anything been offset? How do we know what the payment relates to? Where does the payment need to be allocated? And then second to that is, what branch does it even relate to? Does it all relate to one branch, or does it relate to multiple branches? And what we've found now is, even now, because we've got the separate accounts per branch, most of our brokers have actually are on board with us and are making different payments into different accounts. We are still finding that if a broker has received three or four different sets of bank details from us, that they may just use one set of bank details. But what the team in Ireland are doing is they just keep an eye on those particular transactions. We'll reach out to the broker. If there's a downstream impact for the team, they'll reach out to the broker and say, if you're making a payment that relates to this, please make the payment into this account. If you're making a payment that relates to this one, please make the payment into this account. There is still a challenge there, because on the other end, being somebody who sifts through making payments, it can be a little bit frustrating if you've got to make a payment to two different places. There is still the struggle to get people to use the correct bank details. But what we are finding is that the majority of brokers are on board with that. As long as you explain that to them and what you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it, most of them get it. Most of them get it, and most of them will work with you to help you with those processes.
Kim, that's great. And one more question for you, if you don't mind. Talk a little bit about broker engagement. I have to believe that was probably a key step in this process.
It absolutely was. We actually worked with our internal operations team. So a lot of the underwriters and the internal operations team have those relationships. We approached it in two ways. We actually went out to brokers and advised them that this is what we were trying to do, that we were going to be changing our bank account details and the reasons for doing that. And then we've actually now obviously sent out all of the correct bank details to the brokers. We do want to take it a step further. We would like to engage with brokers and create some kind of broker statement that they can complete for us so that we know what the funds are. We would send out, as an example, we would send out a debit note with a remittance on the bottom. They would be able to complete that and tell us what they're paying and what it relates to. I think that's kind of the next step in the process for us, to allow us to kind of go a step further and say, actually, we might be able to use that information to feed back into our insurance system, for example, and do the allocations automatically rather than somebody having to go in and manually do that. But certainly the engagement with the brokers is key to the process. And I think if you tell the story and if you explain to them what you're doing and why you're doing it, most brokers will understand that and they'll be on board.
Yes, and that might actually be quite a nice segue into a question for you. As you engage with clients, what are the tools and techniques that you're seeing that allow clients such as Chaucer and beyond to really enter a new phase of automation with their receivables reconciliation?
Absolutely, Adam. And I love how Kim described it, because it really is a journey. As she kind of recaps and recounts where they started this process, what were some of the challenges they were facing. I like to call it a journey. Our clients look at this as an evolution from where they're at today. And certainly we hear clients consistently saying COVID was a big catalyst in all this, that it introduced complexity and challenges that, and certainly move trends in a direction they were already going, but now at a faster pace. With the introduction of virtual accounts, particularly to overcome some of these challenges around broker payments, we see this consistently in the insurance space. So it's great to see that Chaucer has been able to leverage this particular solution to solve this challenge that's endemic in this particular space. And it sounds like they have made tremendous progress towards the automation and GL allocation that was being done manually by people typing into keyboards and taking time away from other more important tasks. And that's a theme we consistently hear from our clients with respect to accounts receivable and some of the challenges and opportunities that they face, is that one of the key ones is finding enough time in the day to get all the work done. And so with the virtual account solution that Chaucer Group is looking at and looking forward to other solutions that they might be able to bring to bear and leverage as well, what they're looking to do is give that valuable time back to their staff to empower them to, with the time in the day, to go do the more high value add activities and not lose that time doing simple, repetitive, manual tasks, just getting the cash allocated to the right GL segment. Let the technology take care of that for you. And so along those lines, we talk to clients who are on this journey, this evolution, this process, as they move from virtual accounts and focusing on payer identification and GL allocation, we also see them looking at solutions around straight-through cash posting. We offer a solution called Intelligent Receivables that a lot of our clients will move up to as they progress in the path towards full automation or as close as we can get. We also have a solution called Commerce Payment Portal, which enables the online channel. And this is important because with the complexity in AR now, we not only want to be able to automatically find the data, the records and invoice details that go with the broker reference account information, that detail that goes with each transaction and payment coming in, we also want to enable the channel associated with it. Let your customers select their own billing information through a secure portal, submit payments securely electronically to you, and have that direct integration with your billing system to allow that straight through automation. The activity takes place online, whatever user is interacting with it, the money flows into the Shawshire accounts, it's automatically allocated to the correct invoices or billing details, and then flows back to their billing tables automatically to post at the correct line item level. So again, this is not something that everyone can simply do right out of the gates, but it's a journey that our clients are on. We're taking that journey with them as one of their strategic advisors in this process. And what we like to do is when we work with clients, we start to recognize key themes and patterns that emerge and take those and come back to the clients and say, are you facing similar challenges? Have you seen similar trends? Because we've helped other clients progress and move up the continuum towards as close to full automation as we can get with respect to accounts receivable and cash posting.
Thanks, Jeff. Really insightful and really bringing the client lens to all of the interactions you're having. Kim, I've got one last question for you. What approach did you take when implementing the reconciliation tools? And I'm particularly interested in what you learned and if you did this all again, what you'd do differently.
We were very much led by the implementation team in terms of how much we could do in one go, if you like, kind of alluding to what Jeff said. It is a journey, and we are, although we've had the solution in place for a couple of years now, maybe 18 months to 2 years, we still have a long way to go with what we're doing. One of the big things was the fact that we've been using the TMS for many years at Chaucer. Integrating the accounts into that TMS was a key factor. We needed to kind of understand what that looked like. That was something we needed to make sure we were able to still utilize the TMS for the payments and the statement receiving. I think one of the things that we probably would do differently would be to look at that reporting. We opted to take our statements in at the header account level, which works. We get the statement through, the transactions are stamped with the virtual account number. What it has done is it's restricted the way that we can actually report out of our TMS. It means that we can only report out, pull statements out for those header accounts. We can't drill down and just pull out information that relates to a virtual account. We have to pull out the whole account and then kind of filter it. We probably should have investigated a little bit more. Another kind of tack we took was we initially just used one branch, our Bermuda branch, as the guinea pig for setting up all of the broker specific accounts. And we did change our hierarchy quite a few times along the way. We wanted to make sure that we were in a position to be able to respond to the business needs and to be fluid enough that if we needed to change, we could change. We didn't want to set ourselves up for failure by putting this rigid structure in place and saying, this is how we're going to do it and we're not going to change from that. As recent as the back end of last year, we were still kind of tweaking that and making sure that things sat in the right places. And they were kind of the key things I think we've definitely learned from the experience. And I think going down the route of just looking at one branch was definitely the right thing to do for us. As it turned out, we didn't go broker specific on every branch. It wasn't relevant for every branch. So had we in the beginning tried to do that exercise, it would have been a huge amount of work for very little benefit. For me, definitely the reporting was one big element. We rely now on some reporting out of the Cash Pro portal, which is great and it works well. It's just not the ideal solution for us. We would rather be able to do everything direct from our TMS. So reporting is definitely key to look at that and to kind of get all of those options up front and to really interrogate what you're getting.
And Kim, I'll just point out, I think you've highlighted a great best practice in all this, which is when you're approaching these improvements to accounts receivable and implementing these new solutions, one key thing that we've seen with some of our clients in terms of successful outcomes is managing the project into separate phases. think of it in terms of taking on one challenge, getting the solution in place, up and running successfully, and then move on to the next one, and not try and do everything as one large effort, which puts the whole thing at risk. Really like the approach that you took, and thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
This has been a really insightful conversation, and as always, there's so much more we could have discussed. But I guess one of the key points I've taken away from Kim and Jeff is advanced tools like virtual accounts can enable multitude of benefits, from reconciliation automation, bank account rationalization, and centralization of liquidity visibility. For now, I want to thank our guests for their insights today, Kim Parfitt from Chaucer and our Bank of America expert, Jeff Pauley.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. Enjoy being here today.
I'm Adam King, and thank you for listening to Kim Parfitt from Chaucer and Jeff Pauley from Bank of America. Thank you for tuning in to the Treasury Insights podcast series.
Bank of America is the marketing name used by certain global banking and global markets businesses of Bank of America Corporation, lending, other commercial banking activities, and trading in certain financial instruments are performed globally by banking affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2023, Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.